All right, we're live. Tap and Birdie, Valero Texas Open / Live Doral, Live Miami. Here with my good friend Steve Shermer of the Golf Gambling Podcast, aka Twitterless Steve. Steve, how are you tonight?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. Back in the swing of things, I was on vacation last week. And while I gave my dad, Steven Yeager, the outright, I, of course, did not put together a betting card for a tournament. So no tout cash for me. I ended up getting it live at about, I think, like 9-1 or 10-1 once I realized I had some
good value.
FOMO. Great value. I had severe FOMO at that point. But so, I got a small piece. But you, of course, hit the outright. Congratulations to you. You have, I'm pretty sure you only have a small loss. I'm betting on Steven Yeager career now, and that gets you back up to it. So congrats on almost breaking even with Steven Yeager.
So if you weren't off last week and you did a card, Stefan Yeager 100% would have been on it.
100%. Yeah. So I was in Florida. So I knew what it was like for my co-host to be just a prisoner of only Hard Rock and any shady bookie that he wants to deal with. But my dad has a Hard Rock account. He's like, all right, just give me like 5 or 6 golfers. So Taylor Stephen Moore. Yeager. Yeah, Yeager was on the list. Taylor Moore was on the list.
Wow.
A couple other bums too. So he was pretty pumped. And then once I realized, oh, I don't have a piece of this, once I got back to New York, and around Friday, I realized, hey, maybe I should, get on this. I did that. But hey, listen, is what it is. Steven Yeager beat the Terminator. Scotty Scheffler held him off. Probably Scotty should have won the tournament. It really came down to him missing a 20-inch putt. Or carrying the ball maybe extra 3 or 4 feet on 15 instead of it rolling down the hill. But hey, that's golf for
that's
that.
Golf. That's golf, as they say. I look back on it. I'm not sure if there's a golfer I've bet more in the past year than Steven Yeager. Like, genuinely, not a joke at all. I've bet him so many times. Granted, they were all like 70. Plus, like, he's just a long shot I always bet. Like, he's not a guy I ever need to be convinced on. Like, it's Steven Yeager. Like, you bet him when you bet him. And I actually remember there was times in, like, the summer, in the alternate events and early in the swing season, he was going off at, like, 25, 30 to 1. And I'm like, I am never betting Stefan Yeager 25, 30 to 1. Like, that's never happening. So I'm glad to actually cash on his first win, because he's definitely someone I've invested some money in.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably, my Bazane hoot, who might make an appearance tonight, on this show. But it seemed like with Yeager, cause he would always look good in these ball striking stats and he gained a lot of distance, but it just seemed like he was just constantly only cashing like top 30 finishes.
Yeah. Like he had never even contending top 15. Like, no, like just making the cut and finish like T32.
Right. Which is, fine. And, in the long run, in your long models there, that's going to look okay. That consistency of always finishing 32nd or 26th or so. But, finally earlier this year, having a piece of the lead going into the final round of Torrey Pines, making a big run in Mexico. Finally, he's starting to get a little bit in the mix. And, it was going to Houston where, he's had a little bit of success before, how the golf course is going to be set up for him and, for a couple other guys, it was going to be favorable to him. And hey, he got it done. I was talking to Andy last night and he mentioned, because he was on, I believe, Yeager as well. But if Scotty made the putt on 18, he said he was going to hedge. And I was actually thinking about it in the moment. I kind of think Yeager would have held on in the playoff. I know that might be a controversial take, but I thought he was playing really good all Sunday.
Yeah, I disagree completely. So the thing about it, we watch a lot of golf tournaments. That was one of the least impressive wins I've ever seen in my entire life. He walked into that one so easily, and a multitude of guys should have been at minus 12 or even minus 13. Like, to me, the fact that he didn't birdie the par 5 and then didn't, not that 17 was an easy birdie, but to have the look he had, to not birdie either of them and win at 12 without a playoff, like, the probability of that had to be very low at one point. And I know he made a bunch of pars on the back and, like, you know, he didn't make any mistakes, but to win not in a playoff at 12, the way the tournament was looking, like, that was, you know, he didn't have to do much to win that tournament, to be honest.
No, and there was also a stretch, too. It seemed like everybody on Saturday on 15 and 16 at least put one in the water as well. I mean, that knocked some guys down. And, you know, I mean, he had Tosi making a run there, and, you know, he ran out of gas on 18 as well. But, hey, listen, you know, 50-1, Steven Yeager finally cashing for everybody, giving you a little bit of money ahead of the Masters. Maybe we can get a little bit more before Valero and Liv Doral this week.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I don't think 50-1 was a gross number by any means, like, at all. And he honestly wasn't, like, that popular. But if Scotty beat him in a playoff and I still won my outright, that would have been elite because I bet him without Scotty. So that would have been, like, to be the only one to Vic Lappet, like, would have enjoyed that. But, you know, it's all good. Probably the lowest amount I've bet on an outright in, like, a year. Of course, that's the one that wins, always the way it goes. So it's a bit bittersweet. You know, wish I bet a little bit more money on it, as I have been for the past year. But it's been rough. And kind of the point I want to make is, like, can we get more Steven Yeager winners? Like, guys in the 20-60-1 range that are playing well and good course fits, like, those are the winners, like, I want to be on, and I think most people bet, and that range just, like, hasn't really won this year. Like, Jake Knapp, like, that was a good example, like, playing well, good course fit, 40-1, like, I need more of those winners, because that's just hasn't been the case this year. It's been long shot randoms you never would have been on, or Scotty, or elite major champions at elevated events, which definitely could have been on. But, you know, him and Nat were truly, like, you know, good course fit, good form, decent number. Like, I'm hoping we could get a couple more of those winners this year, because I'll definitely be on those bets.
Yeah, I mean, that's my sweet spot. I think it's everybody's sweet spot. It's really tempting to bet a guy you like with a 2 in front of them. You know, it seems like, you know, even though the difference between, like, a 16, 18, 1, and 21, based on how much money you're actually putting down, doesn't seem like a whole lot, just psychologically, once I see a 2 in front of a guy, it just makes me feel, okay, this is suddenly value, but it really isn't. But, you know, I mean, for 2 years or so, yeah, I mean, like, it just seemed like everybody, you know, either 15-1 or, like, up to, like, you know, 50-1, you know, the range we would always bet, we're just doing well. But this year, though, it just seems like, and actually, I think it goes back to June 6th last year. That's when it kind of flipped, where it seemed like, okay, the air is out of the balloon now. Maybe the curtain's been pulled out, but, you know, or, you know, revealed where, other than the majors and, you know, a couple other events, this stuff really truly doesn't matter. And maybe that's finally resonated with some of the top players now. And it just seemed like to me all season long that unless it was a signature event, it just felt like there wasn't a lot of buzz. Maybe not a whole lot of urgency for some of the guys who are favorites who know that they're either going to be in the signature events or in a major. And honestly, I'm kind of feeling a little bit like that this week. Now, fortunately, though, you know, there are some decent players, I feel like, you know, 30-80-1 that still have something to play for this week, trying to get in the Masters. But, you know, I mean, we'll probably talk about it in a little bit. I think it also doesn't help as well. I think there's a lot of top players struggling right now, trying to find stuff. And, you know, looking at the top of the board and some of the favorites, it's kind of hard for me to get behind some of the top guys this week, because I can really pick nits at several top players this week.
Yeah, and I've made the point on this podcast before, so I don't want to belabor it, but I believe that's another non-elevated event winner who wasn't in elevated events. You know, I've made the point a bunch that the guys that are winning the non-elevated events actually have something to play for, and like you said, all the elites that have their season, you know, basically planned out and just care about the majors, kind of, like, they're not winning these small dick events, which they have before in the past. So I just think Yeager was another example of that. You want to talk a little bit about the number one player in the world, this guy named Scottie Scheffler, and his performance at the Houston Open?
I mean, I talked about him a lot with last night. And I was pressed on this. I was pressed on, has my opinion changed of Scotty ahead of the Masters, where I'm just now terrified, where I feel like I have to bet the without Scotty market again. I guess for me, and we talked about this a lot, I said this on the previous show, I just felt like how they were setting up Memorial Park, as soon as I saw it, it was overseeded with the inch and a quarter ryegrass rough, with the tight lies on Poa Trivialis, which is a surface that he's been really good at, I just knew Scotty was going to be in the mix. So there was really nothing that's happened at the Houston Open, because he was right there and probably should have won the thing, that's really changed my expectations. I guess I've always had it in my head that Scotty was going to have all this momentum going into the Masters. I thought he was probably going to, you know, win Houston, but the Masters is different. It's a much stronger field. Obviously, there's a lot more added pressure to it. And I feel like, you know, we're going to be adding a lot of pretty good players on LIV that are playing actually really good golf right now. It's kind of polar opposite, where I feel like the top of the PGA Tour has kind of been a little sluggish this year, whereas on LIV, a lot of those guys are playing really good golf. And we're going to add that to the mix at this point. Yeah. And it might make it a little bit of a weird dynamic for everybody, everything. So
yeah, I don't know if I fully agree with the LIV guys playing super well. I think it a lot has to do with the fact that they just haven't played a lot of golf compared to what they've been playing going into the Masters. But how I kind of feel about Scotty going into the Masters, like, I truly you know, I'm not saying anything crazy here, but it's very hard for me to see someone taking down Scotty at the Masters if he continues this putting, you know, kind of trend that he's on. Like, obviously, I was afraid of him last week. Like, to me, at the Masters, like, I just think you could kind of throw away last year. It's very hard to play well or defend if you won the year before. So I think you kind of throw that out. And, you know, it's been pointed out a lot with trends and stuff. And I know Andy talked about it early in the year, but there's been a lot of people to win the Masters, don't win it, and then win the next year. It's happened quite a few times in history. And if you had to give me the major that Scotty's going to win the most of, it's definitely Augusta, just because that place is just absolutely perfect for him. And, you know, he could kind of putt decently there. And to me right now, there's not a lot of people, LIV or PGA, that I could really see taking him down. And like Houston last week, there's just no world in which Scotty Scheffler's not T5 going into Sunday at Augusta. Like, I just don't see it. And I'm not, was not super impressed by his performance at Houston, because he didn't have his A-plus game ball striking, and he only putted decent, and he made a ton of mistakes, and he still finished one shot out of a playoff. But with the, you know, with the field strength and, you know, the winner only gaining like 12 strokes to the field, like, you know, I'm not super impressed, because he really should have done that. But long-winded, I probably won't, but I wouldn't hate going single bullet Scotty 5-1, because I just kind of think it's his time, and I think he'll have 3 green jackets by the end of his career. And I think this is a prime opportunity for him.
Yeah. So looking ahead at the weather, one thing that maybe makes me think that, you know, it won't be quite as big of a cakewalk for him is the Masters he won. It was very difficult scoring conditions, really tough weather conditions.
Yeah.
Where just he hit the ball just supreme all week and just was able to separate himself. What I've noticed at Masters, and I have all this weather history and the scoring implications of it, is that when it's been a little more benign as far as warmer temperatures, less wind, which is what's in the forecast right now. And it's also coming from a direction that actually is favorable towards scoring. If it's coming from the south and the east, which is what we're probably going to get, it tends to bring more guys into the mix, definitely more scoreable. So it, for me, I think if it was going to be a more difficult Masters,
okay,
where it's harder to like bring guys up to his level, at least with the ball striking and trying to match it, where there's less room for error, then I would be a lot more afraid of Scotty, and I think, because that's really going to whittle the field for me. But you know, you get years like, you know, 2020, DJ was, and maybe this is a bad example because DJ was just unconscious, and so was Scotty. But you know, you get guys like Sungjae and Cam Smith, like who was before Cam Smith at that point, or Abe Anson, like different types of players. 2019, when Tiger won, everybody was in the mix. Like guys, it was, you know, DJ was in the mix. Rom played pretty well. JT made a little bit of noise. Xander made some noise, but also you had Ian Poulter and Webb Simpson.
Yeah.
So there is more of a diverse type of player who could do well because birdies will be out there. And I think that actually it might help more guys at least contend with Scotty. And then maybe just it's going to come down to Sunday. And kind of like we saw Houston, Scotty missed a couple putts at the wrong time. And, you know, the other guy won.
Yeah. I think it's kind of a mix, like we've talked about, of just kind of guys not playing super well on the PGA Tour. And, you know, I'll throw out Rom. Rom's not winning the Masters. He's not going to win back-to-back. There's just no chance. And kind of, you know, I think the obvious answer that he's going to be so popular, and I really have no problem with it, but everyone's going to like Brooks at the Masters because he's a guy that you think, if you're like, okay, he has to be able to beat Scotty and the best players in the world, that's Brooks. You know, obviously has great history there. You know, easily could have won last year. You know, won the PGA. I understand it. Like, it's a very safe bet at 20-1. Like, it just makes you feel good. But honestly, I think, again, I guess I'll keep doubting Brooks. I think he wins 5 majors in his career. I don't know if he has a 6th in him. I could be, you know, mistaken, but I think 5 might be it for BK.
I mean, I think if he's going to win the 6th, I think it's going to be the Masters. I think that's his sole focus now.
Yeah.
I think that's the one thing left for him that he really, truly wants. Because listen, he's what, won 3 PGAs, 2 US Opens. I don't see him winning an Open at this point. And you know, he probably maybe realizes this, but I think the Masters probably, I mean, he let 2019 slip away. He let last year slip away. He is getting older. This is his 9th Masters now. That is typically when guys tend to peak at Augusta National. I know, right? And it's also going to be very appealing because Brooks is probably going to top 5 this week in Doral, a golf course that probably is very good suited for his game. And it's going to create a whole lot of buzz again for him.
Would you bet Brooks 20 at the Masters?
I'm considering it just because I feel like this is kind of concerning. And also, like, I come from a perspective where I have tried to basically eat my vegetables and watch live a little more this year because I just know
the product's great.
Yes. Yes. Sue Ann.
The golf courses are sick.
You should
see. It's on at 3 a.m.
Have you watched any of the previews of my breakdowns of some of these golf courses that I do for live? I'm suffering through it doing it. These are not good golf courses, but I have also tried to digest what BS stats they do give out and try to put a little more context to it. And
yeah, like Abe Hanser's green and regulation percentage.
Well, it's trying to translate into like what you're actually gaining on everybody else. It's not perfect, but I'm playing around with it. The point is Brooks has kind of been just hovering a little bit below the surface. Everything looks okay except for the putting for the most part. And I just think this is kind of just setting up for him, just doing what he always does, finishing like top 5 this week. And then he's going to create a lot of buzz. So if you do like Brooks, I think this might actually be maybe 20 is might be the last time you see it. Cause he's probably, if he has a good finish this week, he's going to get bet down probably to the teens. And then, you know, at that point you got to make a decision between like him and, you know, whether you want to go Rom again, or if Rory ends up floating up towards the mid teens, which might happen. I don't know. But if you like Brooks, I think this is probably you probably should bet in.
Like 85% chance I'm not going to, because I have like a Cam Smith future. So like I'm not going to, you know, bet Scotty 5-1. Like I'm probably not going to, but I'm very scared of him. I think Scotty can win the Masters.
So I guess
that hot takes.
So I was actually doing this last night because I thought this was going to be the game that Andy and I played. I was starting to create like an outright pool, like, look, guys, like I'm actually considering right now a betting. And I only came up with 8, and it's kind of shaky. And there's only one guy I've actually bet officially.
I mean, I could just run through this quickly. Sure. You know, I kind of apologize. But I already did this when I was talking about it. But this is kind of my view of the odds board. Rory. Now, I just don't think Rory can win the Masters. I think he can win other majors. Like, I'm just out on him. Rom, he's not winning back-to-back. Xander, you know, maybe. Like, okay, probably not, though. Like, probably not. Brooks, totally. Spieth, his form is just not there, and I don't think he could win. Hovland can't chip. Out on him. Clark, first-timer, he's not going to win. Decky, no, he's not going to be a two-time major champion. Jocko, probably not. Cantley, definitely not. JT, maybe, like, but probably not. Cam Smith, maybe. Zal, can't putt, but he could top five. That's kind of my view of, like, everyone under 30-1. There's just no one I'm dying to bet.
So really it's just Scotty and Brooks then at that point.
Yeah, like, I don't, like, I'm probably going to bet some other guys, but right now it's just, like, it's just hard for me to get excited about anybody.
I mean, I agree. And I mean, you may mention the fact that, like, neither's just, and we're going to talk about some of these guys struggling this week looking for stuff. But, like, remember we were talking about Max Homa back in, like, December? It's like, all right, he's playing great in the fall. And, you know, maybe this can be the Ryder Masters. Cup. Ryder Cup buzz winning in South Africa by multiple strokes there over Nicolai Højgaard. Come on, man. I mean, he's definitely going to pop for the majors, and that's a dude who's kind of lost right now. So,
college sucks.
I mean, we can probably jump right into it if you want, the top of the board. But yeah, I mean, like, a lot of the guys that we would probably end up considering for the Masters, like, Morikawa has been good there, especially with good weather. That would have been really tempting, you know, for me to bet him if he was in form, or Max Homa, or, you know, Jordan Spieth, always pretty good there. But it just, you're right. It just seems like, and I don't know, it's like, we kind of saw at the Players where we talked about where, you know, just things, there wasn't a whole lot of buzz, but once the Players started, that's when it kind of seemed like the top players, like, kind of flipped the light on. Are they going to be able to flip out the light on for the Masters though? You know, yeah. We'll see.
I mean, at the end of the day, I have the Masters winner. I have an insane bet on it. Like, that's the cover of my year. JT Poston 320-1. Like, I'm good on the Masters, okay? JT Poston 320-1. Like, we're good. Oh, actually, man. It's dead. His wife just had a kid, and he hasn't played since the Players.
Well, hold on. Danny Willett had a kid a couple weeks before the Masters, and he ended up winning. So,
fuck it.
That's not totally dead.
Fuck it. We're fine. Poston Masters still on. I'm down to talk Valero. I think, you know, this is a very nondescript, average PGA Tour stop, like, just very middle of the road, like, you know, kind of like Valspar in my mind. It's just like a very normal, average course, like, doesn't stand out by much. Corey Connors fucks here. Chuck Hoffman fucks here. Spieth's been good here. Cooch has been good here. Like, it's just kind of whatever. Week before the Masters, like, you know, what are your overall thoughts on this course?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. I think the preview, if you watched it, it's I didn't really have a whole lot of energy behind it. And also, it kind of, where the stats kind of bear out to this, where if you look at how guys actually separate themselves in tournament, it literally is like the PGA, like the average PGA Tour stop, like, you know, at a typical golf course, how you separate yourself with your irons, with your overall score, it's about right there. Same with off the tee and, you know, putting. Like, there's nothing really anything truly, I feel, unique as far as what I would look for otherwise.
Yep.
So, you know, just looking at just recent winners, it seemed like, you know, obviously Corey Connors, the really good ball striker who can't putt. You had JJ Spaun, kind of a little bit in that similar vein. Caught a hot putter before the week before, but also just hitting the ball generally just pretty well.
Yeah.
Coming in, Jordan Spieth was, you know, he had just refound a lot of the ball striking after being lost for 2 years. And that was kind of the crescendo the week before the Masters before he finally got that win. Obviously, you know, 2019 Corey Connors, Monday qualified, playing really good, can't putt. So, I mean, and, you know, we talked about it, you know, we've already talked about it. Just, I don't really have a huge appetite at the top of the board based on just how motivated guys are. Just kind of, is it really on brand for this certain player to win this tournament before the Masters? You know, it's, I feel like I tried to target guys that had something more to play for this week.
Yep.
Hitting the ball relatively well, try not to overthink it. And I end up probably with a bunch of losers on my card. I have 11 guys on my card, but only one is under 50-1, and none of them are under 40-1. So
you're taking bullets. I like that. I love that approach this week. Like, I truly top of the board doesn't scare me. It's a random course. Random people can win. Like, I'm peppering the board as well. Like, I'm not, you know, trying to pay up for a lot of guys. But I think Rory, you know, we're just out on Rory. You know, he's not, if he wins the Valero Open, like, it would actually be embarrassing. Like, he shouldn't win for his career. You know, I'm fine, you know, if he plays well, but I'm out on him. Ludwig's very popular this week. I'm not betting Ludwig at 12-1. I'm not betting Ludwig at 13. I'm not betting Ludwig at 14-1. Like, is it a good course for him? Sure. Like, I think he probably peaked at the Players, you know, in this short of a time span with how well he played. And I would just never pay up for him in this field at this tournament. And, like, I'm not even, never even considered betting Ludwig, like, sub 14.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I can't make an argument as far as his profile for this place. Obviously hitting the ball very well. Good driver of the golf ball, too. But, yeah, I mean, I saw his price at, I think there was the best you could have got was like 16.
For like 10 minutes, maybe.
For 10 minutes, and then it went down to 12. I think, like, you know, there's some 11s out there right now. Yeah, I mean, I'm just taking the attitude of if Ludwig beats me, Ludwig beats me is kind of what it is. It didn't really fit.
Yeah.
What I was going for. If you wanted to single bullet Ludwig, I'm not going to hate that. I totally get it. I guess if I was going to probably consider any guys under 31, just based on how they're playing, I mean, Ludwig would have been one. I just didn't bet it. Hideki also won just because of how well he's been playing overall. The ball strike has been really good. It seems like he's shaking off that neck injury that he had last year, driving the ball great now, you know, but do I really think it's really on brand for Hideki to win a Valero before the Masters? This seems like maybe like a T22 finish. No. So I'm out on him. I was intrigued by Fitzpatrick a little bit because I always like when I hear when something changed, some variable. So like with Scotty, the putter changed. That's a variable that changed. You look at last week, Tony Finau driving the ball terribly, ends up getting a driver adjustment with the weights moved around, changed his driver shaft. All of a sudden, he's driving the ball great. I like seeing a variable change. And you hear the stories with Fitzpatrick, how he was a dumbass who had weights in his driver for a year and couldn't figure out why he was terrible. And all of a sudden, he takes him out. And now he's crushing the ball. He drove it great at the Players. So, you know, has that changed for him where now he can kind of start hitting his apex a little bit? Again, similar to like Hideki, though. I don't know if I really see Fitzpatrick winning Valero for the Masters. Just is that really on brand? Yeah. Maybe he's just kind of out there, you know, trying some shots, you know, that he would probably see next week. But those were the three I would probably consider. Everybody else under 30-1, though, either I can just say I don't think Corey Conner is going to be, if I'm looking at his Wikipedia page, the first three wins is just all Valeros. You know, I don't think that's a good fit. And then with Spieth, Homan, Morikawa, and even Fleetwood, if you want to throw him in the mix, just with how they've been playing lately. Like, why do I expect them to all of a sudden just flip it on right now, the week before the Masters? Like, isn't this would be just when they're just trying to maybe find something? I don't know. I mean, of those four guys, probably the one I would say who could turn it on would be probably Morikawa, just because of how good of a ball striker he is. If that just suddenly comes back, that seems like that's been the biggest issue for him. His iron's been really bad, but there's also going to be a couple days of wind, and I never want to play Morikawa when it's windy. So he's immediately out for him. So, yeah, I mean, it's just I don't really have a strong appetite for betting losers under 30-1. I want to bet losers over 30-1. And I have plenty of those guys on my card this week.
Yeah, I bet Fitz 28. This is just shout out RK. This is just a numbers play for me. Like, I generally just think it's a good number on a guy that you can actually trust in the mix and in contention and that can win. On a course that I think sets up pretty well for him. He drove it excellent at the Players. The irons were decent. You know, the putting was really good. I like this scoring range for him, you know, like mid to average scoring, not crazy low or anything. And like you said, I like the fact that he switched his driver up, maybe found something a little bit. And although I agree with you, like, you know, he's won an elevated event, won a major. I don't know. The way he's been playing this year, not so great. Like, I think he wants to win. And, you know, I don't know if he wants to win the Masters. I'm not sure if he even cares about Augusta. Like, I think he's more focused on this week. So, yeah, I like that. And then Billy Ho, super popular. He's 42-1 on Bookmaker. Again, another numbers player for me. I haven't really been betting super, super chalky guys this year. I've been kind of good about it. But Billy, I'm taking a guy I could trust to win under 40-1. Like, he's won Memorial. He's won match play. He's a bunch of wins early in his career. I trust him if he gets into the Wicks. I loved his presser today. Sounded super confident. Knows he's playing well. Know he plays well in Texas. Knows he plays well at this course. At 40-1, 42-1, like, I'm fine with that. Like, that's just like an easy bet for me. And even at 35, I don't hate it. Like, I know it's like, this is a guy who wins, so I don't hate the price on Billy.
Yeah, so a concern I had, and this is how I kind of broke ties between like 30 and like 80, is it seems like there might be a little bit of a wind split as far as the tee times go. It seems like there might be some wind in the morning on Thursday, yeah, and then wind in the afternoon, and you got that morning tee time. But I mean, I
looked and it seemed kind of even.
Okay, all right, so maybe they
like it seemed like hot, like both event both times we're gonna have to play in shit weather. Like it seemed like it was gonna kind of even out.
Okay, all right, well maybe maybe the forecast changed ever since I looked at it, but I was going between him and another guy who also had a morning tea time, and I think I just kind of broke it with the tie of I think Horschel just seems like he's pretty popular this week, so I went the other way. And I didn't have that 40-1 number on Horschel. I only had, I think, 33. So
yeah,
I had a 40 instead of Harris English. And I took that and said, I just like how he's been playing. Last couple tournaments, hitting the ball a lot better. Last two tournaments, you know, you got 7th at Riviera, 21st at API, 19th at Players, 17th at Phoenix, 10th at Sony. You know, it seems like he's cranking out a lot of these consistent finishes like he was doing back in 2021 and ended up winning, Century and Travelers. So, you know, I mean, it's I like, you know, seeing a nice consistent ball striker. It seems like also that we might get a couple of days of wind where you're going to have to try and get up and down. He's pretty good around the green. I also saw a nugget, too, that it seems like the Bermuda's starting to pop up a little bit through the overseed. That's going to make it a little more difficult to chip around the green at Valero. And there's, you know, pretty high rate of missed greens there. So I think that guy, you know, like English, you know, that might benefit him. But, yeah, I was going back and forth with the Horschel. I am betting Horschel just a positional top 20. Because I'm very famous for picking the wrong guy when I'm breaking ties and have a position on him for my little, consolation prize. But yeah, I don't hate that bet at all from him. I have nothing bad to say about Billy Horschel as an outright.
What do you think about Russ Henley?
I just don't like how he's been trending. I think, and that was just kind of what I looked for, was just, I wanted to just target guys who I just have been hitting the ball pretty good tee to green and has been just generally solid. And just, I'm trying not
to. You can't win.
We can't win. I don't think he's been all that good here at Valero either. I'm done just trying to be too cute with stuff and just thinking guys are just going to turn it around, especially in just a day and age where I feel like just some of these other events just don't mean as much. So I understand, I guess, why you would like a player like Henley if he was playing actually pretty well, but you know, didn't play. I mean, he played really good at API, but it wasn't really with the ball strike. It was kind of more.
Yeah, the ball striking's been bad, but he's been putting well.
Yeah, exactly. But he didn't hit the ball very well at Cognizant, didn't hit the ball well at Players, and then he's been off ever since. So I'm not seeing great Russell Henley ball striking to make me want to just say, okay, I'm just going to blindly bet a guy who has burned me and caused me so much outright trauma in my career to just say, you know what, screw it. This is the time for Russell Henley. So no, I'm probably out on him.
Yeah, I might just say fucking to bet him. I don't love it, but I have a feeling with him. Like I just have a tingling with Russ Henley this week. I don't love it, but you know, it's whatever. Did you bet Bez? Because I don't think he can win. Like, I think it's a good, like, I just think he's like a shoe-in for a T13.
I mean, Steven Yeager just won.
It's different, though. It's why is different. It different? I don't know. Like, Bez, he ain't got that dog in him. Like, Yeager won 7 times on Korn Ferry.
I mean, Bezane, who's won, like, 7 times in the Sunshine Tour, and he ate rat poison.
Oh, you know? Okay. And he fucking, he already won this year. He's collected first place prize this year. That has to count for something.
That's technically true. That does eliminate the motivation. That, you know what? Data Golf has to adjust that. Where they have a little second place finish where I'm like, okay, he's actually motivated. No. turns out he actually did get first place money. He's sitting there all fat and happy. But no, I just, again, like just trying to target guys. So I feel like we've been playing very solid. You know, obviously the iron play has been really good all year long. He's got an okay finish here. He's good around the green, which I think is going to be important when the wind kicks up maybe on Saturday. I trust him to make a lot of putts on Poa Trivialis. So
what about his driver?
You know, I mean, the driver, he's been driving it not all that great, but I mean, there isn't really a whole, well, I guess you make a good point. I have noticed that this
is because, I would have bet Bez. I just don't trust the driving.
Yeah, I mean, you make a great point that I didn't consider, that this has become a lot more driver heavy the last couple of years as guys have just said, screw it, and just going to be able to rip as far as I can. So yeah, that is a cause for concern.
Did you bet Aaron Rye?
No, I did not bet Aaron Rye. Rye, first of all, the wave split saved me because I'm on this angle. He's got a morning tea time. So I was like,
what is this with the what tower are you looking at?
I am looking at, I'll show you later, but it's, first of all, there's not really a tower near TPC San Antonio.
Get that figured out. Right, Windfinder.
It's the Spec Road construction site, apparently.
See, I was hearing different Windfinders. I didn't hear, I heard some Windfinders. I did not hear that wind tower.
All right. So I am looking at 22 mile per hour wind at 10 a.m. on Thursday, getting less about like 4 o'clock, goes to 10. And then Friday morning, it's like 7 to 15 mile per hour winds ramp up to over 20 in the afternoon. So look. I mean, this is just, maybe I'm looking at the wrong wind tower. Maybe this is a old wind tower that's a construction site that is no longer active. But again, like what I wanted to say about Aaron Rye, though, is the moment he got into kind of in the mix last week at Houston, what did he do? He immediately hit a garbage approach shot and dumped it in a bunker on 18. And that was the end of him. And that just kind of,
He's learning. You got to get in the mix a little bit. You got to feel a little bit uncomfortable, and then you go out and win. No, okay. Aaron Rye, like, I bet I'm going to bet him outright. Top 20 nuke. Like, can he win? Probably not. But, like, again, good course fit, playing well, good number. I'm just hoping we get some of these. And he fits that for me. But the way he's been playing is really good. I like him in somewhat difficult conditions. He's straight off the tee. He could pop with the irons. 65-1. He's not that popular. Bet Rivers loves him. 65-1. Like, that's a good bet for me. Like, I'm in on that. Will he win? No. He's top 20 lock. But, you know, just feel a little bit something with Aaron Rye this week.
Okay. All right.
So who do you like 50-100?
So I bet Akshay 65. I just like how he's been playing. You know, I mean, last week our colleague Matt Gannon had Akshay, and he got very upset at my producer, who he says he didn't mush him, but you know, he kind of.
Well, what did he say?
He just said like, "Hey, I really wish I was on Akshay. That was a good bet, Matt." And then he immediately,
Cam said that. Cam, that was bad. Can't fucking say that. Say that.
All right, well, Cam has a rebuttal on our show tonight. He specifically wants to go on our show and says he's going to mush every single golfer just this week. So be prepared that he's going to try and mush everybody.
I mean, I'm very anti, like, everything's a mush to me. I tell people to delete tweets all the time. You don't say, like, I've yelled at Andy before. Like, I've had a first round leader and he's like one back and he's like, damn, XYZ was such a good first round leader bet. I'm like, dude, immediate bogey. I'm like, dude, you just wait. You just wait. Just wait until the round is over. So I'm with Matt. You don't say great bet. Like, wish I was on him.
Yeah, I mean, my take on it is there's the rational side of me that knows that it's not actually real. And that every golfer is probably mushed at some point by somebody in America watching television.
Fair point.
On the other side, I'm a maniac with this stuff and want something to blame when golf eventually happens and everything just regresses hard the other way. And that's my way of just coping. I think it's a coping skill that we need if you're going to bet golf to survive this volatile sport, because otherwise you're probably just going to end up quitting. But if you end up blaming stuff like mystical powers and somebody saying stuff, that's what keeps you betting and saying, you know what? Okay, if someone just shuts up next time, that win is around the corner.
Yeah. So. No, another thing, if a guy hits a tight approach shot, you wait until they make the putt to say anything. Mm-hmm. You never, to 4 feet, let's fuck, no. you wait until the putt goes in the hole if it's inside 4 feet. Like, that is another number one rule. Like, never get excited. A lot of different things. It's also tough with the different ways to track golf. Like, if you're not tracking a golfer a certain way, like, if you're not tracking him on Bet365 and he's, like, playing well, and then you go and you want to watch the approach shot, or, like, you watch him on ESPN Plus for the first time and he hits a terrible shot, like, you like to keep the way he's been playing well. You don't want to change up the mojo and watch your guy on ESPN Plus if you haven't and he's been playing well. Like, there's levels to it.
I feel like I definitely do that.
Yeah. Like, just let him rock the way he's going. But who did you bet 50 to 100?
All right. So Akshay was one. I just like how he's been playing tee to green, driving the ball pretty good. So I just thought that was a good number for a guy I think is pretty talented. Not in the Masters yet, even though he did win, Barracuda last year. Yeah, it didn't count. So he's got something to play for. I thought the 75-1 on Keith Mitchell, even though he's a loser, and it just, when it goes,
I don't know if he's a loser. I like it. I don't think he's a loser.
I thought the 75-1, based on how he's been playing lately, where he was, you know, 54-hole leader going to the final day of Valspar, played well at Cognizant, made a little run in Mexico after starting the day like +7 through four holes. I just thought, with as good of a consistent ball striker as he's been, you know, so far this year, you know, I thought 75-1 was pretty decent on him. You know, kind of fits the Corey Connors model of just great ball striker, terrible putter. You know, even Corey Connors isn't all that great around the green either. He still got it done. So I like that price. And then Lucas Glover, 90-1. Just again, kind of taking like the Corey Connors route where he's been hitting the ball great. Finally had a good finish with the 11th of Valspar. Really good course history here. Do I think he's probably going to win at 43 years old, or however old he is, for the third time in like 6 months? I don't know. But I'm trusting the boilerplate template of just a guy who tends to win Valero based on his skill sets, and he's really good around the green, which I think is going to matter when the wind kicks up, at least on Saturday, even though we disagree on what it's going to do on Thursday and Friday. Saturday, it looks like it's definitely, the wind is coming.
Yeah, no, I'm glad. I think that helps a lot of guys. Some longer shot guys, I bet. Ricky 120 is hilarious. Like, Ricky was 24-1 at this event last year. He finished top five at a U.S. Open and won a PGA Tour event. And a year later, he's 100 points higher. Like, that's hard to pull off. Like, that's crazy that Ricky, you know, the transformation he's made in just 1 year. And he actually was like a top 10 player in the world at one point and played in a Ryder Cup. And now he's 120 again. So I just thought that was interesting. I'm not betting him. But I bet Hubbard 150. He's my Yeggs. Like, Hubbard's a Yeggs guy. Long shot guy I like with a lot of talent. That's kind of been, you know, popping on approach, popping with the putter. Fuck it. Hubbard, this is your week. You can make some noise, Hubbard. I like that. Novak, don't love it. Probably not going to win. We're boys on Twitter. 150-1. You know, whatever. Top 10 here last year. Probably can't win, but top 20. I like it. First round leader. I like it. And then I think a very popular pick. I think my winner is, I don't know if you're on him, Nate Lashley, 150-1. I bet him 125-1 with eight places each way. Yeah, give me fucking Nate Lashley here. I mean, playing some golf. He's golfing his ball right now. I mean, first he played in the group with Scotty at the Players. That has to count for something. 21st last week, gained strokes in every major category, hit it well off the tee, 13th at the Players, 3rd at the Farmers, couple missed cuts in here. Give me fucking Nate Lashley and Ryan Moore, 150. Can't win. Whatever, he's been popping with the irons. Old people win. We haven't had an old guy win on in a while. Those are my long shots. I like those guys. I'll ride with those four. Novak, Hubbard, Lashley, and more. Like, love those four.
Okay. All right. So I got six guys, 101 plus. We overlap on three of them. Okay. So I also bet Andrew Novak, 150. I just, you know, he's just been playing good.
Follows me on Twitter and comments on my shit.
And Matt Gannon had him on our show, and I have absolutely no reason, based on how he's been playing tee to green, to think that, you know, listen, like, for 150-1 for how well he's been hitting the ball lately, like, I might as well just take a stab on him and put him on the card. I also bet Nate Lashley. He actually, I found a 220-1 on him right on Monday. And that was actually one of my first bets I made. He's been hitting the ball great. And he's
fucking Nate Lashley.
Yeah. I mean, look, like, I mean, his Valero history is not all that good. It's 3 missed cuts. We got T18 in there. So he popped once.
It's fine.
But 220-1 for Nate Lashley for how he'd been doing. I'm like, fine, I'll add that to the card. And I also bet Ryan Moore 170-1. With the TD Green number has been really good. You know, very, very, very poor man's Corey Connors at this point, you know, and he's not in the Masters. He once upon a time was a, you know, bona fide solid player. This is probably good. Maybe he sees this as a good chance to get back to the Masters.
Valhalla Cup.
Yes.
Was that where the Ryder Cup he played in was in 2018?
No, Hazeltine.
Hazeltine comp. Hazeltine comp. Yes. Just say
all
yes.
Right. All right. Yes. I'll go with your expert opinion there. And then the three other guys I bet over 100-1. You know, I don't feel as good about this right now, but I just feel like Sam Ryder's been playing pretty good golf. And even though he's a terrible driver,
he led the field in birdies at the Players. Boom, bet him.
Yeah. And, you know, even though he drove the ball really bad last year, Valera was still finished third. So I know that even
though he was third last year,
he was third last
year. Fuck it. I'm in.
All right. So there's that. Cage Lee 120-1. I think he's a popular pick. He's been steamed up a little bit, but, you know, you take out, and, you know, this is, I don't really like when people make this argument. I'm going to make this argument. If you take out what happened at the Players, you know, he's gained, what, 6 strokes tee to green at Cognizant. He gained another, I think, 4 at Valspar. Gained another, I think, 4.5 at Houston. So just playing pretty good tee to green. 2-time winner in Texas. So, you know, we know that's he's going to get it done in the States. So I'll take 120-1 on him. And then I thought 271 on Chandler Phillips with how well he's been playing.
Chandy Phillips?
Tournaments. Texas guy. You know, play really well at Valspar, hit the ball well last week, didn't putt all that great in Houston, but with how well he's been playing tee to green, I thought getting a guy over 200-1, that's been kind of in the mix lately. I thought that was, you know what, we'll sprinkle a little bit on that and add to the betting card. So a lot of long shots, a lot of losers on this card. I just feel like this is kind of one of those weeks where I feel like, you know, it's going to be a sleepy weekend, bunch of bums in the mix on Sunday. Hopefully I got a couple in the mix and hopefully something horrific doesn't happen to me like 7 times that's happened this year at, you know, on Sundays. It's been a rough one. And
it has been a rough one.
It has. Yeah. Not just the Players, but I had Matt Hughes at Valspar and he was leading with 8 holes to go. And he ended up ruining my dad's retirement dinner because I was just very
congrats very to your dad on retirement.
Thank you. Thank you. I
again, no. How old is he?
He is 65.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's a financial advisor, lives down in Naples now. So
it's a good age to retire.
Yeah. It's about time. You know, my sister has 2 young kids. I got 2 young kids.
So he had you when he was young, right?
He had me when he was 28.
You're just young as shit. I mean, my dad is way older than your dad. So my dad's 73.
Wow. So your dad had you pretty old then.
Yes.
Wow. Look at him.
But shout out my parents. They're on a Viking cruise in Europe right now. Just loving every second of it. Dad texted me anytime I hit that right. You're buying the pizza this week. Like that's his favorite joke to always make whenever I head out. And I'm like, Dad, I literally am down so much money. Like, and I owe $7,000 on my taxes.
Well, I mean, pizza, come on, at least splurge for maybe good Italian dinner or something. Get some penny vodka.
No, because we always get pizza every night at my house. I usually buy it anyway. But it's fine. I'm trying to spend less money. Because
that's good.
I owe a bunch of money on my taxes. So that's kind of where I'm at in my life right now. But it's all good. It's fine. No big situation. Live Miami, the premier event this week. I'll watch it. Like, one thing about Live, do it Thursday to Saturday. Like, I'd rather watch the final round of Live than Saturday of the PGA Tour. Like, it's just easy. Like, that just seems like so easy to me to end on Saturday. Like, Vegas, I'd rather watch that then Saturday on the PGA Tour, unless I have a guy in the mix. That's just an easy fix. I like that. They should do that. Shout out, Yasser. I think this will actually be a pretty good event. I'm like kind of excited for it. It's nice to have an event that's on, you know, during a normal time zone, not on at fucking 3 a.m. Where no one can watch it. Shout out to the 5 people watching in Singapore. There's 300 million people in the United States. So I don't want to hear it. That's enough live bashing for me. It's at Trump. Shout out Trump. He was just in my hometown. I don't know if you heard, but that cop got killed and he was from Massapequa. Trump, and I was at that funeral home tonight. So I was in the same room, you know, as Trump was a week ago. So shout out Trump. Big blue monster. What's up with this course? Like, what are we working with?
I mean, it's a bad golf course.
It's Pine Valley. It's the Pine Valley of Florida.
Yes, it is. So it was designed by Dick Wilson back in the 50s, who also did Bay Hill. And if you look at the overheads of the Blue Monster, you will literally see, basically, it's Bay Hill. It's long. There's a lot of water. Even the 10th hole, which is a long par 5, it looks pretty much exactly like number 6 at Bay Hill. You know, and we at least have some PGA Tour data to look back on. You know, I hosted the WGC Cadillac up until 2016. So you can go back to data golf and you can see how guys are scoring. And really, I mean, it's what you would expect. The whole goal is just don't hit it in the water. And how you separate yourself this week is it's, you know, just hitting the ball better than everybody else. And it's not really a putting contest. So a lot of guys I kind of looked at this week have been guys who I've been tracking who have been hitting the ball pretty well, not putting all that great. Length is obviously a big edge here. If you look at how strokes gain off the tee is derived at Doral, huge edge, and distance is making up a lot of it. So a lot of guys, a little bit some length this week, and just in general, I just feel like most of the better guys that you would expect to play well on, you know, just like the better players, because there's a lot of really bad players on LIV. It's not like last year where you were getting your Danny Lees or Brendan Steeles or, you know, Charles Howell III just doing well because like the top guys just don't care. It seems like the better players are a little more focused. And this is the week before the Masters. You would expect them to use this as a little bit of their tune-up. It's a difficult golf course. You know, I mean, personally, I think if you want to see how these guys are doing ahead of the Masters, I feel like you do have to check out Doral a little bit just to kind of get an eyeball test of how these guys are doing. You can tell the guys who seem like, you know, they feel like they're in control of their ball. They're not really struggling. There's a lot more intel that you can get watching this stuff this week than, you know, you would watching LIV Hong Kong, which I stupidly did. It's suffer through it. The broadcast is terrible. Su Ann's awful. But just watching these guys hit golf shots, and you'll see a lot of it to their credit. It will be helpful just so you don't go in next week just completely blind to what they're doing.
So who are you betting?
I mean, I bet Bryson. I bet Brooks. Brooks was the 20-1 at Doral. I just thought like, listen, I'm not betting like my full unit allocation. This is a little bit funny money with LIV.
Yeah.
But I'm all in on him coming to Doral week before the Masters, locked in. He's been playing a little better in what the results showed, at least what I'm tracking. And there's really nothing about this golf course, you know, difficult, a lot of water, driver heavy, that I feel like a 20-1 on Brooks when he was balling like behind like Taylor Gooch and Cam Smith, who was hitting the ball like absolute crap right now. He was behind Hatton in the odds. I just thought like that was a bad price. And I think Bryson's just playing really good golf right now.
Love Bryson this week. I like Bryson in general. Like, I think he's a very talented golfer. I think he can win the PGA Championship, not because I have a 66-1 on him. And he's a guy, like, I've just been riding on LIV because I just think he's a very safe bet. And I just trust him to win a couple times on LIV. And this is probably the best course fit of the year for him. And his number's shit, but fuck it. I think it's like a Neiman at whatever, fucking LIV Mayakoba. Like, it makes total sense. The number's low, but like, he is the man to beat this week. and I'm excited to cash on him. Again, I'm not, you know, nuking a 10 to 1 or anything, but I'll bet $100 on Bryson, you know, 10 to 1. Yeah, I have no problem with that. He's very popular this week. I have no problem with that, but Brooks, to me, you know, I think it's a good number. I mean, he's 20 to 1 at the fucking Masters. So, you know,
yeah,
why not? And I just think Bryson's due for a win.
Okay. I mean, one thing about Bryson, too, because I've been looking a little more and I'm watching more. You know, with Bryson, you always feel like, okay, he's just kind of bombing it all over the place, just wants to hit it far. But with this driver, which I forget what brand it is.
Crank.
It's some off-brand driver.
Crank.
But with the driver and the shaft combination he's got in the ball with it, like, he hits a ball a lot straighter now, like, yeah, more than what he used to. And that's pretty scary with that fact that he can actually kind of control it a lot more with how far he can still hit it. Like, that's a little bit of why at the Masters last couple of times, because, like, yeah, it's really wide and the rough is an Alpino, but, like, if you blast it, like, way off the map at Augusta, like, you just don't really have a whole lot of shot. And if he's hitting it really far and has pretty good control of the driver, kind of like what we saw at Oak Hill last year, where, I mean, he was one of the leaders in driving accuracy on the weekend.
Yeah, I like Bryson at the Masters. I like Bryson at the majors this year. Like, yeah. I don't love his Masters price. Like,
45 to 1, though?
Dude, I might bet that now.
I mean, I've been very impressed, again, because I've been watching way too much LIV for my own good. But I had been just watching him play, at least with the ball striking. I've been fairly impressed with how consistent I feel like he's been. And it's been a lot of problems with the putter, seems like. It seems like he's been hitting a lot to, like, 12 feet, 15 feet. And these aren't difficult golf courses, but you can just kind of tell these are golf shots at the end of the
day. Do I bet Bryson 45 to 1 tonight to win the Masters?
The problem is I'm going to get my co-host just screaming at me if I do. But,
like, because I genuinely think he's going to play really well and he could be like the Brooks of next year. Where, like, Brooks was like 50 to 1 and then he won Crooked Cat and then he was like super low and contended.
Yeah. So, of those eight guys I mentioned that are like in my outright pool right now to bet the Masters,
Bryson's one.
Bryson is on the list.
Fuck, dude. Parlay?
What? Bryson double?
Yeah.
Bryson Doral, Bryson Masters?
Fuck yeah.
I don't know, maybe.
Why the hell not? Honestly, like, I would bet, like, 45 to 1. I'm not taking on Scotty. Fuck.
When there's so many players on the PGA Tour that you just pointed out just are not playing good right now.
Yeah, like, Bryson's good at golf. He shot a 58 at the Greenbrier.
And, like, weren't we talking about, like, 4 years ago how Bryson can just take apart Augusta and, like, break it and everything like that? And it went horribly, but I based on what I've been seeing with him, it just, everything seems really tight with how, yeah, what his game is. And if he just tweaks the putter a little bit, starts making some more putts, like,
he shot a 60 in a scramble with Paige Sporadic. Like, he's trending. Come on, Grant Horvat. Like, he's doing shit on YouTube. He's playing with a roll. Did you watch the video of him playing with a rolled back ball?
I did. I sent it.
It was awesome.
Andy. It was awesome, but he also basically proved that these guys need to roll back the golf ball.
I mean, I don't care what anyone says. Him still having 182 miles an hour ball speed with a roll back ball is fucking insane.
Yeah. My favorite.
Like, that's insane.
My two favorite parts were when he hit it off the heel and he's like, that's not what it usually does. I'm like,
yeah, Steve, this is where it's like, you're not on Twitter. I tweeted that out and it went viral.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, congratulations to you. But also, I liked how he complained that the rollback ball on the drivable par four hit the middle of the green.
Yeah.
And the current ball was like 40 yards over. And he was complaining and bitching about that. It's like, dude, yeah, the rollback ball actually would have.
No, he did say, he's like, the rollback ball was actually better on this hole.
Okay.
It was actually good. But yeah, I like Bryson. Like, you know, nothing to do with golf. Like, I think his YouTube stuff is like a little corny. Like, I watch a lot of YouTube golf. Like, I don't think it's like amazing, but it just like kind of is what it is. But I think he's super talented and 45 to 1 for the Masters. Fuck it. Why the hell not? It's Bryson.
I mean, I can't make much of a case for many other guys under 50-1 anyway. So he might.
Wait, we're going to bet Tony Finau at 45-1?
No, Tony's going
to. It is crazy that Colin Morikawa is 44-1 to win the Masters.
It is. And if he shows a little bit of form this week, considering I think it's going to be a really good weather forecast for him, that might rope me back. Like if I see good iron numbers this week from him, that could rope me back. Finau is going to be a positional play. I like how he's been hitting a TD. I like the fact that he can just, you know, the driver's been pretty good, but like, I don't think he's actually going to win the Masters, but yeah, like under 50-1, like there's just not a lot of guys I'm making a case for. And it seems like with the Masters, like, I'm trying to go about it from a perspective of
Isles tied it. Let's fucking go.
There you go. Like armchair quarterbacking this thing. Like after the final putt drops, do I think like, okay, well that was obvious or I should have seen that coming. And there's, you know, I mean, there's probably not a whole lot of guys that I can make that case for. I'm going to try to bet mostly those guys that I'm just not surprised on Sunday evening that
like post,
you know, like posting. Yeah, absolutely. So
tough for our Cam Davis US Open start to the year.
It's tough times. Tough times for Cam Davis Island. But there's still time. There's still time.
Bubba Watson 280.
Bubba might play well at Doral this week.
No, this is not a joke. Pete Malnati at the Masters.
If Malnati wins the Masters,
he's not going to win, but like Pete Malnati can fucking T30 at the Masters.
If Malnati top threes at the Masters, I quit. I quit doing that.
You're done.
Because nothing matters at that point anymore. The worst ball striker on the PGA Tour I have ever seen with a bucket hat and a yellow ball, T3s at the most storied, hallowed golf course in the world.
Grayson 500. Could be done. Steve, it was a pleasure. Everyone listen to Steve's podcast this week. Masters next week. You're going. Have a good time, I guess. You go every fucking year. Hope you have a good time. I'll be sitting in my office. Yeah, I'm excited for you and Capper to hit Augusta and hit that Hooters.
I don't know if we're going to go there, but I'm excited to drag his ass with the bum knee around Augusta National with the full 18-hole experience I did the last time. So, no, it's going to be great. I'm very lucky to go again. Definitely not taking this for granted. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'll get there one day. I mean, you can go. It's only like a couple grand. It's not like you can't. If you want to pay the money, you could just go. It's not that much. Like it's, you know.
Yeah, you can scalp tickets, you know, just fly down to Augusta, scalp tickets and
how much are they?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes like some of the I've heard stories of some of the patrons, they don't want to go like Saturday or Sunday. So they end up just selling their tickets from their yards and you actually can get kind of a discount on it. I mean, you're still gonna pay a lot of money for it, but
like $2,000, $3,000 more.
Maybe less than that. I mean, if they're just looking to get a little bit of quick cash. Yeah, I mean, that maybe that's the move. Maybe you just the problem is the flight down, either you got to fly through to Atlanta, which is insanely expensive, or fly to Augusta, which is even more expensive. That's where it's really going to cost you, unless you want to.
Because the flights in that area that week are crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Delta has a charter down to Augusta airport now that they just opened up, which is insanely expensive. What I do is I fly into Atlanta and then I just rent a car and I drive over. So, but that's still going to cost you a little bit.
Yeah. One day when I'm making a bit more money. Hope everyone has a good night. We'll see you next week for the Masters. Go Isles and go Nate Lashley.